We're going to talk about Joakim Noah today on the Windy City Podcast, one of my favorite athletes in the history of this city. And I'm getting yelled at on Twitter. Yelled at! Because I want the Bulls to retire number 13. Joakim Noah's number should be retired. Heart and soul of the franchise. Defensive player of the year. Top five MVP finisher. Two-time All-Star. Derrick Rose doesn't get hurt. They probably win at least one NBA championship. Yeah, I said it. Tribute to Joakim right now here on the Windy City Podcast.
Showtime.
You like it? You think Cleveland's cool? I mean, I never heard anybody say I'm going to Cleveland on vacation.
Do you regret anything that you said about Cleveland?
Not at all.
The man in the middle from Florida, 6'11", number 13, Joakim Noah.
Noah with another offensive quarter. Runs it home. I love this guy. He's just amazing the way he attacks. Butler and the part of the Cook. Got to set him up for three. Instead, a beautiful pass from Cook to Noah.
All right, let me jump in right there. I can't put any more cuts together without talking, because I loved the Joakim Noah scream. Ah! I mean, how awesome was it when Noah would get in the lane, dunk on someone, or muscle up a left-handed layup off the glass or a little floater in the lane and just scream at you? I loved everything about this dude. I loved the coast-to-coast against the Boston Celtics.
It's Pierce. Salmons fights through a screen. No one acted away. Galloping with Pierce.
In a game that Ben Gordon went nuts in a triple overtime in Derrick Rose's rookie year. I loved how much he loved being a Bull. I mean, this guy, he played for the guy in the last row at the United Center. I mean, how cool is Joakim Noah? This was the quote. I feel when I come to the game and I see the guy selling newspapers on the street and it's cold outside. He sees me driving and he's excited. He's like, let's go Bulls. Get it done tonight. I feel I play for that guy. I look in the arena when the team calls a timeout and I see this guy who looks this big. He's holding his finger slightly apart. Jumping up and down in the upper deck 300 level. That's the guy I play for. To me, that's what this city represents. A lot of hardship, adversity. I feel like when I play basketball, I want people to be part of their team. I mean, that was, and Casey Johnson put this piece out over at NBC Sports, that was January of 2014. And it was after a week-long silence after Lou Alding was traded. His good friend Lou Alding. And of course he loved Derek. This comment from him.
And you're at the foul line and you have 22,000 people chanting your name and also MVP. How special is that for you?
I don't like it.
You don't?
No, I don't like it.
And you don't like it because it brings attention to yourself or because just?
Because I'm not, because our MVP is not playing. We have one MVP, and that's Derrick Rose. And I just, and it's not about MVPs. It's about rings. And one day, I hope that we can get one here. That's all I want. I don't care about none of that stuff.
I mean, unbelievable, right? How do you not love that guy? And it actually pains me that he never did climb all the way to the mountaintop and get that ring. But it's not always about the ring. It's not. Sweet if you get him, but there's no shame in not getting him, especially in this case. Put everything he put it all out there, man. All of it was on the court. They did the very, 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 very best they could. When Noah had his MVP season, two-time All-Star, in his MVP year, he was simply incredible, and Tom Thibodeau deserves a ton of credit for this. He averaged 12.6 points a game, 11.3 rebounds, 5.4 assists. The team was run through him. Block and a half a game, 1.2 steals per game, which was also tied for a career high. I mean, he was incredible, and that was year as the 13-14 season, his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th year in the league. And after that, he never played 80 games again. Tibbs had run him into the ground, and his body started breaking down. But so much freaking heart with that guy. And I had my moments with him. I mean, not like we were best buddies or adversaries or anything like that, but then there was this moment.
Did you enjoy the moment with LeBron on the baseline with you guys?
When I got dunked on?
Yeah.
No, I didn't enjoy it.
Did he say something to you first there?
Why would I enjoy getting dunked on?
I don't know. Well, you got the crowd going. You were cheering. It was some emotion
I
there.
I loved it. It was amazing. Best feeling. It's crazy. What a bad question.
Let me butt in.
Now, that came after, here was the play that I was referencing.
Spin move. James throws it down with gusto. And then James and Noah exchange words. These two have had a history over the years. They're going back and forth with each other verbally.
And James got the technical foul for taunting, I believe.
Tony Brothers, John, explained it to James. And a technical foul has been called on LeBron James.
Oh, and they also gave a technical to Noah.
Well, James, the initial taunt, that it was a technical, and then Noah, you heard him say kind of, yeah, maybe that's why he got it. So double technicals, nobody shoots.
In that situation, I'm not a fan of a double technical foul. In that situation.
And this is how that game ended.
Finds Rose. Rose trying to get open, fires away. Bang! It's over! The Bulls win at the buzzer! It still is a madhouse on Madison as Derrick Rose nails the three. And the Bulls take a 2-1 lead in this Eastern Conference semifinal.
So everyone's in a great mood. Bulls have won the game. They're up 2-1 on the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James. It's 2015. And then from there, James hits the game winner from the left corner on a Sunday afternoon. The Bulls lose a tough game 5. They get blown out in game 6. Thibodeau leaves the court, never to be heard from again, and neither was the franchise. And neither was Joakim Noah. He played 29 games the next year. He started 2. Fred Hoiberg comes in, plays him off the bench. And then he ends up in New York with Derek and then Memphis and then the Clippers, and now it's apparently over. Played 5 games last year. Billy Donovan was his coach at Florida. They won 2 national championships together. I'd be interested in Joakim being at the back end of the bench this year. Noah Vonleh or Joakim Noah? Give me Joakim Noah. But maybe he doesn't want to grind out a season and barely play, and I suppose I shouldn't hold on. But this was the conversation that I've been having on Twitter. I said they should retire Joakim's number. The Bulls have MJ, Scotty, Jerry Sloan, Bob Love. That's it. Phil Jackson's name hangs from the rafters. So does Jerry Krause. I never thought Krause belonged up there. I'm not going to have that argument right now, even though he shouldn't be up there. This is a heart and soul guy. Noah and Rose, they didn't win it. Derek got hurt. We all know the story. I still think 13-1 should be up there. But people are just angry. They are straight coming at me on Twitter. The big shooters, too. David Kaplan, Mike North. They're coming at me, man. Let's see here. Let me pull up my tweet. My tweet was this. One of my all-time favorites, number 13, should hang from the UC rafters. A true winner. Atching Joakim Noah. Hell of a career. Got the most out of his talent. Top 5 MVP finish. Heart and soul. Great teammate. And he didn't get, like, being dunked on by LeBron. All right? Solid tweet by good old Carm. David Kaplan. Retire his number? Why don't you just retire every number of every athlete who ever played in Chicago? And then we could have blank jerseys. Hashtag take that. And then Cap getting responses. Don't worry, Sparkles. Hashtag Chicago Bulls will have jersey numbers available when you make the team. Hashtag take that from my guy Mitch. Michael Joyce. Best big man to ever play with a man bun. I love Joakim's hair. Great look. John Stark. Nate Robinson's number two comes to mind. Brian Scalabrine, Ben Gordon. See, come on, man. Joakim Noah ain't no Nate Robinson, Brian Scalabrine, Ben Gordon. I love Ben Gordon. He's none of those guys. Top five MVP finisher. Lil Kev. Agreed, Cap. He's a two-time All-Star. Come on, people. Only legends get their numbers retired. Only legends? Really? Have we looked around? I mean, I love Jerry Sloan, but is he a legend? Is Bob Love a legend? No, we do have some people on my side. I love you, Tito. Bob Love and Jerry Sloan have their jerseys retired. What are you talking about? Take that. David Gronendahl. I wouldn't even give a second thought on D. Rose. No, no. Joe loved him when he was here. Hashtag hard no. Why is it that I'm not putting the guy in the Basketball Hall of Fame, putting him his jersey up because we loved watching him play basketball in Chicago?
Yeah, it definitely helps. You know, jeez, you farted?
Love Joakim, but to retire his number, no friggin' shot. Juan Ortiz. Come on, Juan.
I just stayed in my hotel room, man. Every time I look out my window, it's pretty depressing out here, man. It's bad. It's bad.
So you're not going out?
No. No going out in Cleveland, man.
Retire his number, no championship? What are you saying? Horrible take. Eric Dacinko.
You like it? You think Cleveland's cool? I mean, I never heard anybody say, I'm going to Cleveland on vacation.
Coming at me here. Those are all responses to Cap jumping in here. 47 likes for David Cap. Mine's got 105 likes. Of course, it's my tweet. Let's see what else we got here. Larry Jones. Okay, let's calm down for a second. I love Noah as well, but put in the rafters. Let's relax for a second and think this through. Rose should be put in the rafters before Noah, and no one is pining for Rose. I'm pining for Rose. I am pining. Bring him back, A, huge pine. Retire his number. Secondary pine. Rose and Noah Knight.
You know, but you got to give credit when credit is due. And Miami's a hell of a team. They're Hollywood as hell.
Retire them both. They probably do deserve their own nights. Wife texting me in the background. Cody Westerland, 670 The Score. Shoe saying, let me butt in after your question. It is incredible. I cut it out of there, but David Schuster jumped in.
It's crazy. What a bad question.
Hey, Joe, let me butt in. Joe, most importantly, you got the win tonight, but how you won the game, can that give you guys even more momentum?
I really think Joe and I should have had a deep, deep, deep discussion about this. Mike North, no Mark, great guy, but lowering the bar. Lowering the bar.
I hear people talking about that moment that they weren't even there. They don't even know what happened. They're talking about it, writing that shit in books. Like, fuck out of here. Like,
I mean, how low is the Bulls bar? We've been watching Bulls basketball for years.
Fuck out of here. Like,
and then Mike continues, and I love Noah, but Van Leer played for the fans, and Kukoc needs to get in, and of course, my favorite, John Mengelt. That's old school right there. Love John Mengelt. Crash.
Bulls on Channel 9. Hello again, everybody. Milo Hamilton along with the crash man, Johnny Mengelt. It's a tough place to play, even if you're all healthy.
But Tony Kukoc was never a top five MVP. He never made an all-star team. Noah was a way better player. Way better. People like to romanticize Tony. Put his retired number next to all the championship banners he won from Tony Fall.
Writing that shit in books. Like, fuck out of here. Like,
settle down, Tony. Keith Dombrowski. Really good player. Had some really good Bulls moments. Great energy. Fan favorite. Not sure he is at jersey retiring level, but I did love watching him play and did tune in at times just to see him. And then he throws in there the LeBron question was idiotic. Excuse me, sir. My LeBron question was great.
Did you enjoy the moment with LeBron on the baseline with you guys?
When I got dunked on?
Yeah.
And that's a hell of a compliment you just paid him, Keith. You tuned in just to see him.
Like, fuck out of here. Like,
D Rose number one on Twitter. By far one of the worst questions ever asked to an athlete. That's not nice, D Rose number one. I liked my question. He enjoyed it. Go watch the tape. Dude was jumping up and down and clapping at LeBron. Enjoyed was the wrong word. I admit that. It should have been. Did it end up being a win even though you got dunked on because LeBron got a T and the crowd got into it? That would have been a better way of phrasing it. Fine. You're right.
I think the story meant a lot more to me than it did to him.
Still liked the question. Brent on Twitter with an egg. Brent 662-31976. Put a picture on yourself, Brent. Ha ha, I hope this is a joke. Retire his number? Really? Yeah, retire his number.
Very mean guy.
Really? Like,
I mean, geez, where is the...
There's no love there.
Where is the love?
Why can't I get my guy's number retired? 9 seasons with the Bulls, 29.5 minutes a game. Shot 49% from the field. 9 rebounds a night, 3 assists, a steal, 1.4 blocks, 9 points a night. Okay. I know, but see, that's the thing. The stats don't jump off the page with Noah, but he's a guy that you win with. And when they absolutely needed him, when Derek was hurt, he was the best player on the team, played 35 minutes a night, and was top 5 in the MVP voting. I was having this conversation, well, I had it with Cap today, and I've had it with a bunch of people. Like, where is Dennis Rodman a top 50 player in the history of the league? One of the greatest defenders of all time, one of the greatest rebounders of all time. Every single basketball team would want Dennis Rodman on their team. Right? You want him in your starting five. You love guys who don't shoot the basketball every time, do all the dirty work, play incredible defense, rebound the basketball. You win with guys like that all day long. But he's not a primetime scorer. But who would you rather have? Dennis Rodman, Carmelo Anthony. Dennis Rodman, Dominique Wilkins. Dennis Rodman, Bernard King. See, I would take Rodman. You win with that dude. Those dudes are so hard to find. Now, you got to go out and get scores and all that type of stuff, but like somebody like Rodman is incredibly unique, and the reason why I bring it up is because I think Noah is in that category. He's a very unique player. Not a great scorer, but can score, can hit that weird spinning jump shot, and he's going to board for you, and he's going to hustle for you, and he's going to handle the ball for a big man and create for you. Excellent passer. Huge fan of Joakim. All right, let me segue over to Kyle Schwarber. The Cubs are non-tendering Kyle Schwarber. They were going to owe him $8 million this year, but we're in a pandemic, and we don't know if fans will be in the stands, although the vaccine is coming, and the Cubs are making hard decisions, and they're non-tendering him. That's incredible to me. I mean, I get that Schwarber has not been the Schwarber the Cubs were expecting, but Kyle Schwarber in 2020, which you can't count, I mean, he had an awful season. He hit 188, but he still hit 11 homers in 59 games, so that's another 30 homer season. He had Forget 2020. Let's go back to 2019. He hit 250. He hit 38 bombs, 92 RBIs, had 132 hits, on-base percentage of .339. Not great, but certainly not terrible. OPS of .871. You're not willing to pay that guy $8 million and maybe trade him at the deadline and get something of value? That's incredible to me. The Chicago White Sox should be all over that. Hey, Kyle, you want to stay in the city? You want to play? It's a tough spot for the Sox. I actually have to take that back. I mean, if you let McCann go and Grandal's your catcher, then, and Edwin's gone, then I guess you have you make him the DH, play him in left field some. You can't put Eloy in left and Schwarber in right. As good as Luis Robert is at center, I don't think you can do that. You got two left fielders. You need somebody. You can't have one outfielder. But you could make him, he could be their DH. Someone, Detroit supposedly interested. This is just brutal for the Cubs. Absolutely brutal. Guy's 28 years old, making $8 million, and you're punting on him. That's not how this was supposed to go. But somebody's going to be living the dream with Kyle Schwarber. And I just think, look, the franchise is worth, what, $3 billion? I know that you're not going to sell the team and it's hard to recoup the money in the moment. And I'm sure they're taking huge losses over there. But ride it out. Don't completely impale the franchise for $8 million. I don't get it. And lastly, the other big news is that Mitchell Trubisky is going to start at quarterback. Mitchell, you're getting a shot. Nick Foles, you made Matt Nagy and company puke. They've seen enough. I actually pretty much liked what I saw, at least at moments, for Mitchell Trubisky on Sunday night against Green Bay, minus the interception in the end zone and the one into triple coverage. He's just going to do that. But the offense looked better. The Bears have a lot of winnable games here. And it seems like what's going to happen the rest of the way is going to have a huge impact of what happens in the offseason. So I hate to do this right here on DeWindy City Podcast, but I am telling you, as a Bears fan, right now, best thing for you, you want them to lose. Root for losses. The tank is on. Higher draft pick. Get the best quarterback out there. We're going to do a deep dive on the quarterbacks coming up in future podcasts. But the best thing that could possibly happen for the Bears right now, no, unequivocally, without question, is to lose. Losses. So from that standpoint, I almost feel like maybe it'd be better to have Nick Foles out there. But whatever. The quarterbacks both stink. It doesn't matter. But you need losses. And this week against Detroit would be a really, 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 really good one to get. Let's see if they can do it. Thank you for listening to the Windy City Podcast. Joakim Noah, congrats on a hell of a career and a great, 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 great representative of this city. Phenomenal stuff on and off the court, and I'm sure he'll continue to do it. We will see you next time.